In Hebrews 10, we're told to promote love and good works. For years, Elizabeth Elliot has been pointing women to Jesus and challenging them to live a life characterized by love, good deeds, and devotion to God's Word. Welcome to Gateway to Joy. Drawing on her decades of personal study and the application of God's principles as a daughter, mother, wife, and missionary, Elizabeth reminds us that anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliot, continuing my talks on the man on the ash heap. From the book of Job, the oldest book in the Bible, the book that deals most deeply with the mystery of suffering. For 7 days, Job did not sin by anything he said. His three friends didn't say a word. They just sat there and wept and tore their clothes and threw dust in the air, which were the ritual ways of expressing mourning in those days. But we get to chapter 3, and Job really lets fly at God. I call chapter 3 a howl of protest. Do you want to hear some of this? Job broke silence and cursed the day of his birth. Perish the day when I was born, and the night which said, a man is conceived. May that day turn to darkness. May God above not look for it, nor light of dawn shine on it. May blackness sully it, and murk and gloom, cloud smother that day, swift darkness eclipse its sun. Blind darkness swallow up that night, count it not among the days of the year, reckon it not in the cycle of the months. That night may it be barren forever, no cry of joy be heard in it. Cursed be it by those whose magic binds even the monster of the deep, who are ready to tame Leviathan himself with spells. May no star shine out in its twilight. May it wait for a dawn that never comes, nor ever see the eyelids of the morning. Because it did not shut the doors of the womb that bore me and keep trouble away from my sight. Well, there's 10 verses of eloquent cursing. I've never heard any more eloquent cursing. He says everything he can think of to say about how he wants to curse the day of his birth. It's shocking, isn't it? After his humble, faithful attempt to vindicate God. He had said that it's reasonable that we should expect both good and ill to come from God. And all of a sudden, it's the other extreme. It's as if his patience has been totally exhausted. His faith has just suddenly collapsed. And he says some frighteningly brazen things directly to God, or at least in the presence of God, and in the hearing of his friends. Now that should teach us something very important, I think, about talking to God. We have very dim and sometimes confused ideas of what prayer really is. Prayer, in one sense, is talking to God. We're not always talking to God when we're praying. We may be worshiping him in silence. We may be listening for what he has to say to us. That, too, is prayer. We may be offering up the work that we're doing. And God knows that when we're concentrating on a piece of work, we can't be thinking about God, but we can have offered what we're doing to God. So that's a form of prayer. Prayer, of course, is a tremendous subject, and we haven't got time to get too sidetracked on that right now, but I think people sometimes are scared to death to say to God what they're really thinking, which is rather amusing when you stop and think about it, because God says that he knows our thoughts before we think them. So by the time we get around to thinking them, he already knows them, but when we come to God, we might as well say to God what we are thinking. Just lay it all out there before him. Sometimes it will look absolutely ridiculous. Sometimes it may look blasphemous. And when we recognize that, at the same time, we can ask God's forgiveness. But I think it's a good thing to say it to God probably a much better thing to say it to God rather than to somebody else if we're really angry about things. I don't think we need to treat others to all the eloquent curses that we can think of. So when he's now cursed the day of his birth, he goes on in verse 11 to say, "Why was I not stillborn? Why did I not die when I came out of the womb? Why was I ever laid on my mother's knees, or put to suck at her breasts? Why was I not hidden like an untimely birth, like an infant that has not lived to see the light? For then I should be lying in a quiet grave, asleep in death, at rest, with kings and their ministers who built themselves palaces, with princes rich in gold who filled their houses with silver. There the wicked man chafes no more. There the tired laborer rests. The captive, too, finds peace there and hears no taskmaster's voice. High and low are there, even the slave free from his master." It's as though Job is saying death solves everything. Verse 20, "Why should the sufferer be born to see the light? Why is life given to men who find it so bitter?" I can imagine that there are a number of people lying in hospital beds right now. People perhaps in wheelchairs. People who are suffering terrible migraines, as my brother Tom does. Surely this verse would flash across their minds. Why is life given to people who find it so bitter? They wait for death, but it does not come. They seek it more eagerly than hidden treasure. They are glad when they reach the tomb, and when they come to the grave, they exult. Why should a man be born to wander blindly, hedged in by God on every side? It's interesting here that even though Job is cursing and howling against God, he has not lost God. He still knows that it is God with whom he has to do. When he says, "hedged in by God on every side, my sighing is all my food, and groans pour from me in a torrent. Every terror that haunted me has caught up with me, and all that I feared has come upon me. There's no peace of mind for me, nor quiet. I chafe in torment and have no rest." Well, there's an existential statement, isn't it? There is no peace of mind nor quiet for me. I chafe in torment and have no rest. Well, you know, he's not the only one in the Bible whose words the Holy Spirit preserved for you and me. Psalm 88 is a bad one. "O Lord, the God who saves me day and night, I cry out before you. May my prayer come before you and turn your ear to my cry. For my soul is full of trouble, and my life draws near the grave. I am counted among those who go down to the pit. I am like a man without strength. I am set apart with the dead, like the slain who lie in the grave, whom you remember no more, who are cut off from your care. You have put me in the lowest pit, in the darkest depths. Your wrath lies heavily upon me. You have overwhelmed me with all your waves. You have taken from me my closest friends and have made me repulsive to them. I am confined and cannot escape. My eyes are dim with grief. I call to you, O Lord, every day. I spread out my hands to you. Do you show your wonders to the dead? Do those who are dead rise up and praise you? Is your love declared in the grave, your faithfulness in destruction? Are your wonders known in the places of darkness, or your righteous deeds in the land of oblivion? But I cry to you for help, O Lord. In the morning my prayer comes before you. Why, O Lord, do you reject me and hide your face from me?" Well, that's not quite all of Psalm 88. But the thing that I love about the Psalms is that they are so honest, so real. Every suffering that you and I have ever known or ever watched in somebody else is described in very graphic terms in the Psalms. But of course, there are many Psalms that are filled also with the other side. The light, the joy, the singing, the praise, the confidence in God, the absolute trust that even in the midst of all this, he knows what he's doing. God does not want dishonest prayers. It's much better to say what you're thinking to him than to try to pull something over on him by trying to sound pious. He knows your thoughts. He knows them before you think them. He's not interested in our sounding pious and proper. What God wants is a man's heart, open and utterly readable before him, no matter what's in that heart. Will you open your heart to God today? He knows you. He knows you through and through. He loves you. And he waits for you to open your heart to him.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.